What's up? Welcome back to another awesome episode of the Life Inner Show podcast. On the Life Inner Show, we help people live their visions and create incredible businesses to support those visions. I'm joined by Polish Peter, my co-host. Dude, we got an awesome topic today, man. We're going to talk about multiple businesses, dude.
Yeah, multiple businesses, more money, right? That's how it works.
Yeah. Is more businesses better than less businesses? I don't know. Yeah. Let's dive into this tasty morsel of a topic here. So let me back up. So, you know, when I first started investing, I was taught like diversify. You know, I was taught like, hey, you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. So have a bunch of income streams. How many of us have heard this? Like, hey, have multiple income streams.
Yep.
And yet what I really ended up learning was that that was misplaced advice for where I was in my journey. And diversification is great when it comes to assets and investments. And we'll discern from that from businesses in a moment. But it's not necessarily good when it applies to businesses, at least in the way that most people do that. So here's the thing. Life Inner is not against multiple businesses. Life Inner does not have anything against if you want to have 10 business, 20, it doesn't matter to us. But Number one, of course, the filter is always that it has to fit your vision. Like it has to fit your vision, make sure that this is something that is in alignment with that. But number two, and this is probably the biggest mistake I see people make, man, is like you cannot, in my opinion, you cannot build multiple businesses at once. From my experience, personally, as well as with other people, it is series, not parallel, as the successful path to do this. In other words, you build one business after another, and there's a few check marks you need to make sure you check before you do that. We'll talk about that as well. But you can't do it at the same time, man.
Yeah, well, what about Elon Musk? He's got multiple businesses.
But he didn't build them at the same time.
Right.
Let's talk about that.
Right. And he's got teams around it who are doing the majority of the work in those businesses. And I think that's a big difference because for us entrepreneurs, those of you listening to it, do you have teams that are already positioned in a way to be able to structure this and do this kind of stuff? Most of us don't.
Well, dude, it drives me nuts when people bring up Elon Musk because like he's Elon Musk. Are you Elon Musk? Probably not. And so
I kind of look like him.
I mean, I guess you could argue that a little bit, but you're not Elon Musk, and you're literally choosing the one person out of dude. How many millions of business owners are there?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like that's not an example. Like that's
Well, listen, think about it this way, like. Doing multiple businesses at once, what ends up happening is your mind, your time, your productivity, your energy, your everything gets split up in 14 different buckets. And what ends up happening when you're doing this, you are not able to give full attention to each one of these buckets, which obviously not only does it split your time and everything all over the place, but you prolong any kind of success of any of these things.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you came in, you said you had what, four or five businesses?
Yeah, I had five. Dude, I had five businesses. All of them are doing okay. None of them really doing what I thought they should be doing. I'm like, what the heck's going on? And my coach is like, listen, you just got to pick one. And when I'm honest, the reason I had so many was because I was afraid of choosing the wrong one. I'm like, well, which one? I don't know which one's going to be successful. And he's like, any of them could be successful. Just pick one. But right now, none of them will be successful in terms of what you want them to produce. And it was fear for me. But to your point, dude, like, so here's what happens. Diverse, and let me just dispel something right now. So the Life Inner model and one that I've seen work again that we like is like you start with your vision, and this will all make sense in a second. You start with your vision, you have your business. This is the thing that you make money with.
Mm-hmm.
You take the excess profits from that business and you buy assets, right? That provide cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
At the asset stage is where you can diversify because these are not dependent on you to run. Your business does require you. And so at least at the early stages, and we'll talk about how to move on past that in a second, but like that's where you do not diversify. That's where you double down on the thing that's working so you can make more money because this is really the income. This is the cash generating, revenue generating activity that allows you to buy assets. Like assets in and of themselves, it's a very, very long path to grow. When it's the cash flow from those that you're using to buy more assets. Like it's the business that buys the assets. And so imagine this, like you got your one business that requires you, because that's why, by the way, that's the way all businesses start. And you never evolve into having systems and processes. We've talked about this before in life in our show. And then you try to add one more business with you at the center of it again. And then that one's not producing what you think it's capable of. So you're like, something's going on here. Maybe it's the wrong business. Like maybe something else is easier. Maybe something else is quicker. I'll do that. Or you see, maybe you're a, you know, you see somebody else being successful in some other thing. You're like, man, I need to open a laundromat. Man, I need to have a storage facility. Man, I should really like have a car wash, you know, like, and you, all of a sudden you have all these different businesses and none of them are working. And all you're doing is working more and more, and there's no cash flow coming in, which makes it even harder because then you got to even work more to try to get the cash flow. It's like this death spiral.
Yeah, and then one little caveat that I would mention, because he talks about, Virgil talked about the asset, right? Well, the asset, that's when you diversify. Just be careful how you set yourself up in those asset stage, because I see this sometimes with, you know, people like, so they have the business, they have the profits. From the profits, they go buy that asset. So let's say I have a business in, I don't know, making pancakes. And I'm successful, and this business, pancake business, is creating the profit. So I'm gonna go and buy myself a rental house and start renting out to get some passive income. What ends up happening a lot of times is because that psychology up here is I gotta do it. Now that business owner becomes the landlord, and he's the one who is making sure that he's collecting the payments and all that stuff and showing up at the house and doing, you know, fixing the house and blah, blah, blah. And guess what? Now you end up in the same problem that you've had before as multiple businesses. So, you know, what's important that I want you to get from what he's sharing is having those systems and processes in place before you move on to the next thing.
So let's see. So to that point, this is so important. I want to accentuate it. Once you have a business, a single business, how many businesses? A single business that is not reliant on you. Or maybe you're putting in 5, 10 hours a week, something totally manageable, maybe 20 hours a week. Then and only then should you even consider another business. And it's with this caveat. Could you make more with that new business with the time you want to put in, compared with what you're already doing? So let's imagine your vision says you are working 20 hours a week and you're putting in 10 hours a week in your business and you are making $200,000 net per year. Will adding another 10 hours of work per week, because remember we said 20 hours total for your vision, will that extra 10 hours create a better outcome for you versus just taking those 10 hours and doing more of what you're already doing? Like, so if you could put in another 10 hours into this existing business and make another $200,000, will this new opportunity provide more for you than that? And if the answer is no, then you don't pursue it. You just double down on what you're doing. If it answers yes, then perhaps you investigate it you start doing that. So that's another huge thing, is like the opportunity cost of where your time is going has to outweigh the thing you're already doing in order to move forward.
Right. So I think it's a really good point, because, you know, looking at the numbers, all of a sudden, like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, he's right. And I had to say it, and this is being recorded. So the fact that I said the Vojo is right, I don't know. I mean, I have to delete that, cut that part out. So, but here is the thing. So why do so many people end up with the multiple businesses? And because what ends up happening is, I think there is this underlying lie that's been perpetuated kind of out there, is that, no, grass is greener on the other side, right? We talked about this, Vojo, right? And how many times is the grass greener on the other side, from our experience?
Dude, never.
Right? Because
Hardly
think of
ever, hardly ever.
hardly ever, because guess what? That new business, that new opportunity, it's going to have its own problems, right? That you're going to have to deal with, and you're going to have to fix or whatever, adjust, right?
Dude, this is where like there's an ignorance that is associated with this that I think is it's to be expected, because you know you don't know what it really takes to be successful in a new industry or a new business model. You know, talking with other people gives you some kind of context for that. This is one of the great things of life in here, is like being able to have those conversations with people that are actually doing it. And that just don't just tell you what you want to hear. Like, you know, so let's say, for instance, you go to a real estate investors association and some guru is pitching notes, or they're pitching multifamily or whatever it is, and they make it sound so rosy and so good and so like, oh, this is what I've been looking for. And you
Can do
get
it in your
in, you know,
pajamas.
what's that?
You can do it in your pajamas, the
Oh yeah,
business, and
you're
it
gonna
takes
get your
$1 million
mailbox
in
checks,
24
right?
hours.
Of course. And the truth is, it's all harder than you think it is. Like it always is. And so, like, don't like, you know, give up what you're doing now for the unknown, especially with this ignorance of, you know, not really understanding what it means to be in that business. Because like you're gonna be disappointed. And what's gonna happen is you're gonna get in and you're gonna realize it's just as hard, if not harder, than what you're currently doing. And then you're gonna be like, well, maybe this is the wrong thing. And you just jump to the next thing and the next thing, and you just continually do this cycle, continue this cycle of more businesses. And by the way, this is gonna get me in trouble, man, but like when I hear someone say they're a serial entrepreneur, most times, not always, but most times, what I hear is they have a bunch of half-baked businesses that aren't producing the money they want. And they are completely unfo they're unfocused and they're all over the place.
Yeah, and I think that's another entrepreneurial trap. Because I went down through that path back in the day of, you know, like the multiple businesses diversifying, and I was all over the place. And it's really hard to be able to get anything going. And, you know, and especially in today's world, right? I mean, look at business, marketing. You got to market that business. The attention span that you need to, you know, catch their audience to be able to go and do business with you know, it's a little bit harder. So you're gonna have to focus and be intentional in that one business to start to creating, get those processes done, put those systems in place. Once you get to that point, then you can start looking from the perspective. And guess how I know? I've had a lot of conversations. You'll be surprised how many of my students come to me on, you know, monthly basis or whatever, and they talk about, listen, I have this business idea, or I have this, or I saw this, should I do this, should I do that? And even we've had, think about how many investors who go do wholesaling, they do flipping, they
Oh yeah.
do you know, rentals, and let's get the storage facility or laundromat, right? And now you think it's one business because it's real estate, but you got five different businesses in there.
Hey, we'll get right back to our episode, but before we do, I want to tell you about our business builder workshop. Peter, I love this event, man. Why do people need to go?
Yeah, because you are going to be designing your own business, right? If you haven't been successful in the business as well as you would like it to, this is the event to be, because we're going to be working through everything. It's like an MBA in 3 days for your own business.
That's right, man. We cover everything from systems, processes, automation, hiring, sales, marketing. It is like what Peter said. We've had a woman who went to business school. She said she learned more in 3 days with us than she did at 2 years of her business school. So if you would like to make a transformational change in your business as well, go to lifeinner.com right now, click on the Business Builder Workshop, register for event, and we will see you there. Dude, well, and I get it. I get it, because it's either fear that can influence you,
Or
or
eagle.
quite frankly, it could be simply the entrepreneurial, you know, psychological makeup. Like, we spot opportunities, we see gaps and like, oh, this would be a cool idea, or oh, like that, like we are, like, it's that very thing that makes us successful in spotting opportunities that can also be our downfall. And so,
Yeah.
like, we are problem solvers. We are people that spot opportunities. We are people that can fix things and create things. And when taken to an extreme, like, now we just end up just like pursuing everything, which means nothing matters, nothing gets done, nothing's important. And so, I think it's we got to just be aware of that.
Yeah. So listen, I'm curious for you, because I think maybe your listeners are going to be thinking about it. You mentioned earlier in the podcast about coming to your coach, and you had five different businesses, and you said just pick one, right? How are you able to actually do that?
So let me, guilty admission, guilty admission right here. I didn't listen right off the bat. So instead of going to one, I eliminated one. And so I'm like, okay, let me look at, let me, let's pull the numbers on here. Let's look at where I'm spending my time. Let's look at what I enjoy, and let's look at how much money I'm making. And I cut the bottom one. And then I'm like, okay, let's see what happens here. Like I, you know, and by the way, this was a genuine step of courage for me back then because I was afraid. It was still making money. And I cut that one business and things started going better in the other ones, the other four. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe that was just a dead weight and this isn't gonna be repeatable again. Let me do this again. So I cut down another one. And then over time, dude, that is where I fully recognized he was right the whole time. And so it was really those three criteria. I was looking at what I enjoyed and what I was passionate about. I was looking at how much time I was spending in it and how much money it was making me. Now, of course, and none of these were susceptible to market influences necessarily, meaning like, you know, it wasn't like an extinguishing market where like, you know, I wasn't getting into newspapers, right? Like, or something that is, no, or magazines, like something that's no longer existent. Like, so they were all viable from that perspective. They all had demand. They all had a sound business model. They all, you know, the margins were okay in those things. And so like, it, for me, that was a criteria I looked at.
And there is, I imagine that in every business, you had a big strength in the, like, you loved something about doing something in that business.
And so like
So
I
how you
had,
let go? Yeah.
well, yeah. And so that's where I think I also looked at like, what am I skilled at? Like what, and usually that passion and skills for me have been relatively, correlated. It's not always that way. But you know, I've enjoyed those things, which means like I tend to be better and more proficient at them. And so there's a relationship there. That's a good point as well. And so I think having some sort of criteria along the lines of what we are suggesting for you will help you choose that, you know, that one or two things. And listen, I know that you might not even listen to us and you might have your multiple businesses. Please at least try to trim it as much as you can and have a hard, objective look at this, because here's the truth. When you have five plants and you have one pitcher of water or one cup of water, like, you can never either have all those things die or you can let like one or two of them live. And so like you got to really kind of have, you know, you got to really focus on the things that and again, over time, yeah, after you create a true business, it doesn't rely on you to run, then you do it, but you definitely don't do it at the same time. Because here's the other thing too, we haven't even talked about. As you run businesses, you are learning. And if you continue to make the same mistakes in all of your businesses, they're all going to suffer the same fate. You got to kind of focus and learn those new lessons in one business so that you can transfer those to the next business that much quicker. Because if you have five businesses and you're learning the same lesson, like in every single business, that is a very painful, very slow way to progress. But if you learn those lessons from one business and then apply them to the next one, you just automatically catapult to that level that much quicker.
Right, because just let's give an example. I gotta do it myself because nobody can do it as good as me. If you have that kind of a belief, what does that mean? That means that I have to do everything myself. I'm like a one-man show. So if you do all the business at the same time, guess what you're gonna be doing? You're gonna be doing same thing all over the businesses. So it's a really good point to be able to, you know, grow as yourself, as a leader, as a business owners in that one business, because by the time, think about it this way, by the time you get to the business where you've set it up such that there are systems in place, there is SOPs, there is people involved, so you don't have to do everything yourself, and you're not stuck in a business. Guess what? You've learned a whole lot how to be a leader and business owner. So now, doing it in another business, you're probably going to do it completely different than you would have done back in the day. So, I think
Totally.
it's a really good advice.
Well, listen, guys, hope you got something out of this episode. Again, not against mobile businesses. Want to make sure you do it right. Want to see you succeed. Need help with the business side of things? Come on out to the Business Builder Workshop. Peter and I will walk you through that process. Otherwise, please share this with somebody who you know maybe has some shiny, shiny objects, some squirrels in their lives, and they have a hard time focusing on that one business, and as a result, they're struggling, because this could make all the difference for them. We'll see you next week, everyone. Take care.